So hi, this is Alex Kroll from Atrocity, and you're listening to Boondoggle Podcast.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle Radio Show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under Today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at Today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at Today's Boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
The pinnacle of rock festivals in the United States. Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival returns to historic Crew Stadium with the biggest lineup ever to rock Columbus. Slipknot. Disturbed. Pantera. Limp Bizkit. Evanescence. Judas Priest. Stain. Rise Against. And the original Misfits, plus A Day to Remember, Falling in Reverse, Breaking Benjamin, 311, Sleep Joe, Seether, In This Moment, Fame, Cypress Hill, Sum 41, Kerry King, and Thrax. And that's just the beginning. Over 120 bands, 4 days, and for the first time ever, a fourth stage to give you more metal, more rock, and more mayhem. May 16th through the 19th at historic Crew Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. Tickets on sale today at SonicTempleFestival.com.
Some people will go to any lengths to pop, my man. I mean pop. Like, just this past year, I resorted to deadlifting my girl's Tesla so my chassis could outshine the competition. But what's more important is nutrition. And that just blows my mind. That's why I let TNT Health put together my workout and meal plan. And everyone's seeing results now. And that's why it makes my heart soar like a hawk to share with all of Today's Boondoggle fans that if you use promo code Boondoggle, you can receive 10% off your purchase at TNTHealth.com. So remember what the macho man says. Go to TNTHealth.com. Get some product, use promo code Boondoggle, and save, especially if you want pythons the size that look like they come off of Skull Island.
Yeah, now hang it up now. Yeah,
alright, listen up. Hold on to your seats. Grab your girls. Grab your beers.
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to Today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Kato Kalin listens to this all the time.
Welcome to Today's Boondoggle. Now, here's your host. Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble or BitChute or Odyssey, please hit that follow and subscribe button. If you're listening to us on Spotify, Apple, Google, whatever podcast platform you utilize, please hit that follow and subscribe button so we can continue to bring you conversations like the one I'm bringing you today. I have the pleasure of talking with Nigel from the band Saxon. How are you doing, Nigel?
Good, man. Great. Glad to be on, you know. Great.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. I believe I've had you guys on in the past during one of the music festivals a few years back. Maybe it was like Rock on the Range or something.
Right.
Me and my buddy Dominic came on the bus and talked with you guys. But that was way before what we were talking about before we went on the air, you know, when the world shut down and you decided to don a cowboy hat and boots and move to Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So real quick, usually when I have people on for the first time, I like to get a quick background. So do you remember originally what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Yeah, when I was the dog's off. God. When I was about 14, I wanted to be a vet, you know, an animal doctor.
Oh yeah.
That was my big thing, but at the time you needed Latin for some reason.
Oh, wow.
I guess maybe because of some of the medicines or something. I don't know. And I mean, I was absolutely useless at Latin. I didn't see the point of learning some stupid language, you know. So, you know, I didn't apply myself. I was a bit like that. And then when I was 16, I think it was, or 17, we had like a sort of cadet force thing at my school, right? And I mean, we had an armory at school. I think this was sort of maybe over from the war or whatever, maybe training youngsters to be ready for something. I don't know. But I was in the naval section, and I went down to a Fleet Air Arm land base, you know, our naval air service sort of thing. Went down to a land base, sat in a jet fighter, and I thought, oh yeah, this is me. You know, yeah. So I actually applied to join the Fleet Air Arm, but of course they needed top marks in my worst two subjects, which was math and physics.
They didn't need Latin though, right?
No, they didn't need damn Latin. You know, I think that would have been easier actually, but you know, it was those other two, and I was like, forget it, bye.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I ended up serving in the Navy on an aircraft carrier, working on F-14s and stuff when I got out of high school. So, but that's cool that was part of your curriculum when you were going to school back then, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. You had to do sort of 3 years in this cadet force. We had to, every Monday was like parade, you know, you had to like, all your gear had to be clean ironed and, you know, everything, all the whites, you know, all the white gaiters and belts had to be, and the brass poly. Oh, everything, you know, had to be perfect.
Yeah. Nice. And then what was it that like music ended up you know, catching your ear and something that you decided to pursue?
It was just actually funnily enough, it was, I mean, I started playing drums when I was about 7 or 8. And then I found when I was listening to a lot of records at the time, you know, I was listening to the bass. So I sort of broke my heart. I had to sell my train set and bought a bass guitar. And then, so I did that. And then when I was at school, we had like a sort of a block of music rooms, and someone had left a drum kit in there. I used to sneak in there and play on their kit. And I thought, now this is it. So we had a school band, you know, the usual thing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And we used to go around playing, you know, youth clubs and the usual stuff, you know. So I was always playing. You know?
Nice. And who were some of your early influences back then?
Oh God! I mean, considering I started so early, I mean, I was listening to sort of, Keith Moon. I mean, everyone that was around at the time, I guess. You know, the first one, as I said, when I started when I was about 7 or 8, was Tony Meehan and Bram Bennett. These guys were like in this, you know, basically the English version of The Ventures. You know, and so those guys, and then I was listening to people that were playing on records and stuff, Clem Cattini, and who were the big session guys at the time. Just got into that, and it just went on. And then I'm trying to think. Then of course, I sort of got into Cream and Hendrix. So that kind of, you know, and you know, Mitch Mitchell was like, I used to love listening to Mitch Mitchell. And Ginger, but I always wondered how Mitch Mitchell would fit, how he would sound with Cream. Because I just loved his sound, you know.
Yeah.
And then later, yeah, sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, and then later on, you know, and then I think the first band I went absolutely mad on was Grand Funk. The original three piece. You know, right. And that was the first gig I ever went to, which was, when was that, 71, I think, in free gig in Hyde Park in London.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and supporting them was Humble Pie. And, Peter Frampton was still the lead guitarist then, and that was, I mean, it was after that gig they brought out the live at Rockin' the Fillmore, you know.
Yeah. And then you said that you played like in some of the youth groups with some of your classmates and stuff. When was it, you know, you got inspired and went to those shows? When was it where you guys started getting in, like kind of playing more serious and forming joining?
Well, no, I mean, at school, I mean, we were, you know, obviously we were just sort of doing covers. I mean, we were playing like Jethro Tull stuff. You know, and Cream and just all. And then later, after I left school, then I was still in sort of local bands, and we started writing our own stuff. But it was like, you know, then of course, you know, by that time, I mean, bands like, although backtracking a bit, but I mean, bands like King Crimson were happening. You know, we were really getting into bands like King Crimson. I mean, I always remember sort of listening to Lark's Tongues in Aspic, you know, and that first bashing when it piles in, you know. And so we just started listening to that stuff, you know, and just playing in pubs and whatever. And then, funnily enough, a band I was in, we used to play quite regularly. And we decided to split up though, and we were in this pub, and this guy came over to me and he said, "Are you Nigel Glockner?" And I went, "Yeah." And he said, "There's a guy at the bar wants to speak to you." So I went over there, and that was my first. I ended up turning pro because that was my first pro band, which was a band called Krakatoa, which was based in my hometown Brighton, in England, and so went on the road with him.
Oh, nice.
And that's how it started. We end up actually having Hans Zimmer as our keyboard player, you know, the guy that does all the movie soundtracks.
Oh, wow, that's incredible. Nice.
Yeah, so we did that. And then, and I mean, the guitarist is still one of my best friends, and I still write with him today, Roger Adams. And then from there, we sort of, that was sort of during the sort of, the new wave thing exploded. We were a bit like Kansas, writing long pieces and stuff. But there was also a lot of funk in there. But, you know, the new wave thing hit. We couldn't get a record deal. So in the end, we just, even though we were selling out sort of town hall gigs, have a record deal. Didn't have a record. Couldn't get a record deal. Couldn't get arrested. So we split up in the end, you know, and I started doing sessions. And then from there, I went into Toya. And then from Toya, I went to Saxon because, funnily enough, the bass player in Krakatoa was managing Saxon.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you, like how that came together for you with Saxon.
It's it was like I got run up on stage. Managing the managers rang me up and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "You know what I'm doing," which was in this band Toya, who were really big at them. And he said, "Yeah, but what are you doing now?" And I actually said, "Well, I'm just about to have Sunday lunch with my parents, actually." He said, "Well, Saxon have got a tour starting on Wednesday. This is Sunday. And Pete Gill's injured his hand. And would you come up and stand in?" So I said, "Yeah, I'm going to eat my dinner first." And then I drove up to London, went up to the north of London where they were rehearsing. We had a blast, and the rest is history. But the stupid thing was, I bought tickets to go and see that first gig, which was in my hometown. Because I was a Saxon fan.
Yeah, nice. And then you got to, you know, you end up getting to play with them. You have a nice long relationship with them. But I had read also that there was a point in your career that you were kind of forced to retire due to neck injuries.
I'm trying to think when that was, 97, I think it was. Yeah, I ripped a muscle between my neck and my shoulder. So the doctor said, you know, I've got to stop playing for about 3-4 months to let it heal. So that's how that came about. And then what happened was they had one drummer for a while, and then they got this German drummer in, Fritz Randau. And I was still writing with Saxon, right? I mean, I was still, you know, going up there and when they were rehearsing for an album or whatever, but I just wasn't doing the touring. But, you know, they kept saying, "Oh, come back. But I didn't think it was fair to oust Fritz because he just settled into the drum store, and I didn't think that was fair. So I just kept on doing sessions and stuff, you know.
But then, you know, after like rehabbing and everything, you were back to playing.
I kind of equate it to, like, you know, Saxon's like a little spider, you know, like a spider's web, and they sort of pull you in, you know. So eventually I got pulled back into the web.
Yeah, like they say, the mob or whatever, right? You know, you think you're out,
yeah,
pull you back in.
That's it. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
And during your time with them too, you got to play some of the, you know, some of the biggest festivals over there as well, like the Monsters of Rock, which is like infamous. What was that experience like for you?
They played the first one, I think, the Donington one. It was 80, I think it was. And then we got asked to play the second one, which was in 82. And it was chaos because, I mean, we were touring at that time. We were on the road over here with Rainbow. So we played in Dallas, got a flight the next morning back to England, back to Gatwick, I think it was. Then got a private plane up to Donington, played there the next day. And then we flew back to New York and headlined the Palladium, and then flew back to the UK again. It was mad. It was absolutely mad. You know, it's like we didn't have a chance to get jet lagged.
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it was
up in time zones.
Yeah, exactly. That was a great gig. But I mean, you know, the other one we love playing is Wacken, which is the big heavy rock festival, you know, near Hamburg. And that's like 75,000 people there. That's like mega, you know. I actually find personally, you know, people go, "Oh my God, 75,000 people, how you feel?" I mean, I just find it an incredible buzz. I actually get more nervous about playing in a pub if I'm jamming with some friends because people are right in front of your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And then usually I've been to a lot of those, but I mean, nothing is as big as that festival, but I've been to some of the festivals here in the States, and you know, I'm 14 years sober now, but you know, I remember the days where you'd spend all that money to be at those festivals and then you don't remember half of it, you know?
Brilliant.
So it's like, yeah, but like you said, if you're in the small intimate settings, you know, more people are likely to see, you know?
Oh yeah. And then, you know, they've got microscopes on you. It's like, oh my God, you know, and there's someone like 6 foot away or 10 feet away from you. It's like, oh my God. You know.
Yeah, and the sad thing is now they all got their phones out, so everything's being recorded. So
Yeah. Something happens, that's on there forever.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see why that would make you more nervous these days. and then there's so much, you know, I was reading about the metal history that Saxon has been a part of over there in Europe and in the States. And it's like we could basically do like a mini series of podcast interviews to go over all those. But I know we don't have that time today. And I want to make sure that I mean,
you know, any time you want, just let me know and I'll come on. No problem.
Oh, yeah. I would love to have you back on for sure.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But I know if I don't talk about the current release that just came out, you know, I'll be in trouble and I might not be able to get you back. So I want to talk a little bit about Hellfire and Damnation.
Yeah.
You know, at first when I was reading the album title, I was like, oh, it sounds like, Saxon's putting out a gospel record or something. I don't know.
Or a death metal one or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But, what was the inspiration for that name, for the title?
Well, I mean, it's a sort of thing that's been going on, you know. It's like the battle between good and evil, you know. It's been raging in people's heads and in, you know, forever, you know. And, it was just something Biff came up with. But whenever we sort of write songs and everything or get, you know, demos together, something might inspire Biff, give him a certain lean towards a certain subject matter or something because of how the riff is, or it might be the other way around. He's got an idea for that, so we might write something to title he's got, you know. So there's no set thing. We just get together and demos get piled in, ideas get piled in, and we work on them, and that's what comes out, you know.
Well, as I was listening to it, once again, it's like, you know, I mean, classic Saxon, but I love, how you were saying when Biff kind of gets onto a subject matter he likes to tackle. I really enjoyed There's Something in Roswell.
yeah.
Because it seems like that's that's been a topic of discussion for years. You know, that everybody wanted to, there's nothing going on. It's just weather balloons or whatever. Now we're in a time period where it's like, there's stuff out there. And it seems like the population's kind of just like, oh, well.
Yeah. I mean, there's a thing down, I can't remember the name. It always annoys me. I can't remember. There's somewhere in Texas where there are these lights.
Okay.
And I can't remember what they're called.
I remember there was some in Arizona too, the Phoenix Lights. There was like a documentary on them, but
I think this one's in Texas. I may be wrong. I'm not sure, but there's certainly these sort of lights are meant to be hovering in the sky, and you know, it's like I'd like to go and see it. You have to Google it. I can't remember what it's called, but I find it funny that suddenly all these sort of camera footage from, you know, Navy jets and stuff suddenly got these things like whizzing all over the place, whereas a few years ago, no, you know.
yeah, nothing to see here. I mean, just how jaded have we become as a...
I know. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the Area 51. Is there a spaceship in there or something?
yeah, exactly. But what I find is, you know, like, I mean, you've had all these... I don't know. I'm a big like conspiracy buff guy myself. I've gone down many rabbit holes, you know.
Right.
Some of my other shows, you know, we tackle some of those topics, you know, and I grew up X-Files fan, stuff like that, you know. And the UFO thing's always been very intriguing, but like, and there's so many dedicated people, you know, that have these conventions and swear by it. And, but now that they're finally like disclosures finally coming out, it seems like the general population is just like, you know, we're so desensitized the past several years after, you know, it seems like after 2020 and everything, you know, everybody's got so much other things to focus on, but I like that Biff's bringing it back in his writing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who's the, why should we be the only beings in the universe, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, and then you see all this stuff with the, you know, was it the Mayans and stuff there? I think it's the Mayans, you know, with their big, you know, from space you can see they've done a big carving of an eagle somewhere or something that looks like a spaceship or something. So there's obviously something going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like, but, you know, for that history, we got, I got Wright-Patterson Air Force Base here in Ohio that I've been down to, where supposedly they have a, you know, a UFO, one of their top secret hangars or whatever, you know.
Right.
But,
well, no one's ever gone in it yet.
No. And as you mentioned, you know, with the, like, you know, the carvings and the Mayans and stuff like that. I mean, there's just, you know, there's way too much stuff that's been like documented that is kind of like you can't explain, you know, that now is like, you know, it just, I don't know. The truth is out there, as Mulder or whatever he used to say, though, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I see you guys are hitting the road with Uriah Heep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that because there's a Cleveland stop, so I'll definitely be coming out to see you guys. May 11th, you'll be playing the Temple Live venue here in Cleveland, and it's an amazing venue. Let me tell you, talk about conspiracies and everything. It's the Cleveland Masonic Auditorium, so that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But there's a lot of history.
Yeah, that's another rabbit hole. Yeah,
yeah, but there's a lot of history in that building, and the sound and what they've done with the upgrades and everything. I think you're going to enjoy playing there very much. And I'm definitely going to enjoy seeing you guys when you come to town.
No, brilliant. Excellent. Now you'll have to email me, get an email off Serena.
Okay.
You know, Silver Lining, email me and mail me, you know, sort of nearer the date and maybe we can meet up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Definitely.
But yeah, then, we're really looking forward to that tour. Should be great.
Yeah, and then I see there's I forget, what was it, a festival that you're going to be playing with them and Judas Priest before the tour, or is that during the tour?
Well, I head over to the UK at the beginning of March. We're actually doing an arena tour with Priest, doing a whole tour of the UK and some gigs in Europe, and Heap are the opening act on that, and then we come over here with Heap, and then I go back to Europe again for its festival season. And I think we're doing some more shows with Judas Priest. I think June or July.
Oh, nice! Yeah. And then the new albums, you know, just came out. You guys are going to be playing a lot of tracks off of that live for the audience on the tour and support. Is there one in particular you're looking forward to playing the most?
I mean, a track I love is Madame Guillotine.
No, oh, nice.
I love that because, it's great. I love that track, you know. But no, any of them. We've still got to sort out a set list. I mean, the thing is with tour over here, it's going to be, you know, it's a co-headline tour with Heap. So obviously some places where they're more popular, they'll close. Other places where we're more popular, we'll close. But both bands are going to have the same amount of playing time. So, and as far as I know, there's no opening band. So it's like an evening with Heap and Saxon. So, yeah, I mean, we'll, so, yeah, the, there's a few of the new album in there. Plus a Nice. Play. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And, you know, I'm trying to be cognizant of your time, but well, I would definitely love to set something up where I could get you back on another time down the line.
But yeah, definitely. Just ask Serena anytime.
Meeting up with you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and definitely look forward to meeting up with you in Cleveland.
Have a word. Yeah, have a word with Serena anytime. I'll come on anytime. I enjoy it.
Awesome. Great. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Maybe we can go down some rabbit holes.
Yeah, I'm always down for that. Are you familiar with G. Edward Griffin?
No.
He's wrote the book the Jekyll Island about Jekyll Island, the creature from Jekyll Island about the Federal Reserve and the banking systems and stuff. And he also did this infamous interview with a KGB defector that you know, predicted how you would infiltrate a country and destroy it from within and stuff. I've had him on the podcast, so those are the type of rabbit holes I enjoy going down.
That's a deep one, that one. Oh god.
Yeah exactly. but Nigel, I appreciate your time. If you got a couple minutes, I'd like to ask you a couple questions I normally ask really quick.
Okay.
Three people who've inspired you and you can credit for making you the person you are today.
Oh, God. Inspired me? Well, I guess my mother and father for a start, you know, and my brother, you know, my family, I guess, you know, as a person. Yeah.
And then are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big sort of, I love all, you know, animal sanctuaries and stuff like that. Gina, my wife, she works for this company that does beauty products, but they're on the side. Their main thing, they have an animal sanctuary there, and they've got donkeys and horses and goats and sheep and stuff. You know, I've got a couple of favorite donkeys down there. I think it's, what's his name, Teddy, who's a recent thing. So me and Teddy get on great. But no, anything like that. I just hate people that abuse animals, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And then for the audience members that are watching and want to pick up the new album or follow Saxon for, you know, tour dates and releases and stuff, where would you send them?
We've got our website, saxon747.com. All the tour dates are on there. There's a load of stuff on there, pictures. I mean, obviously there's Facebook and stuff. So any of our social media, you'll find stuff out. And yeah, just get that album.
Yeah. Awesome.
And we're really looking forward to playing over here. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I will definitely be hitting Serena and stuff to connect with you when you come over this way.
Yeah, that'd be great. But as I say, anytime you want me on, just shoot me an email or Serena and boom, we'll do it.
Awesome. Sounds good, Nigel. Can I ask you one last favor before I let you go?
Okay.
You mind cutting a promo ID for the show? Just introduce yourself and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Nigel from Saxon, and you are listening to Today's Boondoggle. It's a wow.
Awesome. Nigel, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking with you, and I look forward to doing more of this in the future.
Brilliant. All right, Bill, you there, man.
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.